It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Agenda Free means you set the agenda. We just follow your lead on the phone board. Back to it. Jacob in New Jersey on the Pats. Hi, Jacob.
Yeah, guys, I need help. Because y'all keep bashing Brady and praising this coach who's 41-55 total. You keep telling me that he's the greatest defensive mind of all time. Yeah, his defense sucks. Can't stop backup quarterback. You tell me that he's a great GM, but he can't have good plays. When he does, he trades him away. Like, what does this man do? Literally, what does he do?
Well, I want to know who you've been listening to. I mean, have we called him the greatest the greatest defensive coach in the history of the league? Have we said he's a great GM? I think we spent a couple minutes on yesterday saying how much better of a coach he is than a GM. And what was the first thing that you said? Jacob, I think you might have been listening to someone else.
You told me that from 2001 to 2004, he had the great defense.
Oh, that was a great defense.
That was a great defense. They was only ranked in the top five once. The rest of them, it was trash.
Oh, those were great defenses. I don't care where they were ranked, Jacob. In 03 and 04, those were great defenses.
This team has been carried by Brady this whole time. Belichick does nothing. Tell me what he does. Tell me.
Okay, now I think you got a case. How old are you, Jacob?
22.
So that means in 2003 you were how old? Someone do the math for me.
7.
Okay, how do you know what they were in 2003, Jacob?
He doesn't.
Just all due respect. Take my word for it. 01, 03, 04, tremendous. And I would even say 03 and 04 were better defenses than 01. But now, I mean, the defenses have sucked. 14 was pretty good.
No, they had a good defense in 14.
Okay, so 14, I definitely think it wasn't horrible. But on balance, this decade, their defenses have been more bad than good. And the GM work has been up and down like everybody else. So if you want to say what's Bill done recently, I mean, I think that's fair.
Well, it's why a guy it's interesting to see a guy that age having that perspective, because, again, that's all he knows.
So maybe that's right. Maybe that's good. That's a good point, Mass.
Right? So really, it's all he knows. I mean, when you look at it the last 7 or 8 years, the defense in 2011 sucked. That team got to the Super Bowl and couldn't stop the Giants. This one couldn't stop the Eagles. And, again, I don't see now this one this past year, the ranking was actually pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Watch them in the Super Bowl. Were they good?
Nope.
So, I would say to the caller, don't go by the ranking. Go by your eyeballs.
Collection of suck that they faced. Whatever. Just let me tell you, 22-year-olds and younger, the first half of this dynasty, it was more Bill than Brady. It just was. It was.
You'll get no argument from me on that.
That's true.
There were tremendous personnel moves, tremendous drafting. Their defenses were through the roof. Brady was very good to great, but he's not what he is now, where he's
07
like,
on, it's more Brady than Bill,
yes,
to me.
Absolutely. But the first that from zero, from 2001 to 07, it was more Bill than Brady.
Just it's a good way to put it.
Take my word for it. Anthony in Medford, what do you got for us on the Red Sox?
Yeah, Mike, it was sort of from Mads. Hi, Tony.
How you doing, Anthony?
Now, Tony, you think that head-to-head Houston. Now, last year, Tony, you think Houston, the Stars, see to the end, they were the best team, right?
I think they're the best team this year, too, Anthony.
Okay, but don't you think the Red Sox this year, so far, beginning to end, they've been the best team, no?
On paper, they have the best record.
Maz, they've been the best team. Would you just, come on.
Yeah, no. Listen, in the regular season, they've been the best team in the game. I'm telling you, head-to-head in a series, I'll take Houston over anybody.
Okay, but...
So, I think Houston has the most talent. That's how I would put it.
Anthony's point, Anthony, let me help you out. 2 years ago, I think the wire-to-wire best team in the league was Chicago, the Cubs.
Okay.
Last year, I think the wire-to-wire best team. Remember the start Houston got off to last year?
Oh, yeah, they were like 60-28 or something like that.
Best wire-to-wire team in baseball last year was Houston, and this year the best wire-to-wire team so far has been the Red Sox.
Yes, true.
Right, Mike, you will definitely. And you know what? Everybody has flaws, Tony. I mean, the bullpen, that's their flaws. But if just one guy out of Kelly, Bonds, anybody, work with Thornburg. I don't have too much confidence in Thornburg, but somebody could step. They could find a guy for this eighth inning. I think they'll be all right. And it's Sealing, you know, Price come back, pitching the way. I'm really surprised. Cole is a lot better first manager than I gave him credit for.
Okay, Anthony, you gave us a lot to chew on there.
As usual.
Any idea on the eighth inning, Miss?
No.
What would you do?
You're
the manager. What do you do?
Ask me who's the hottest in the final 2 weeks, and that's where I'll go
with. No. Who do you want to emerge? Like,
Who do I think is the best candidate?
In your perfect world, who's your four-man rotation and who's in the eighth inning?
Okay, the four-man rotation to me is easy. I mean, again, I go Sale, Price, Rodriguez, Porcello. They won't go in that order, but that's what I would do. They'll put Porcello somewhere in the middle. They're probably third and bump Rodriguez to fourth.
Then if that's what they're doing, and I hate to interrupt you, then Eddie Rodriguez is my eighth inning guy. I'd rather have an eighth inning guy than the number four starter.
And maybe they'll go that way. But again, I doubt they will because I just don't know that they've seen Rodriguez in that role.
In the DS especially, your fourth starter is going to go once.
Correct.
If he's an
eighth, everybody goes once except for Sale.
Okay. Well, fine. So, I mean, yeah, maybe you could even expand that then. You know, in the seven-game series, it's different because those first couple of guys are going at least twice. But in that DS, I'm making my third or fourth starter my eighth inning guy. I think that's more value there.
Hey, look, I think they need it. I told you early in the year, I've said I'd put Price in there. I just don't think they can do it now because he's been so good. If he craps out again here in the final few weeks, I would do it. I'd still go that way. With Rodriguez, he's got the stuff for it. He throws hard enough.
So Erod's my guy.
So, I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. I'd be surprised if they did it, though. And the only reason I say that is because he hasn't done it, right? So, all of a sudden, they're going to put him in a spot he's never been in before, and he's still, 25 years old?
So, then it's him or Eovaldi to me.
So, it could be Eovaldi. I'm just telling you that once you take Eduardo Rodriguez and Price out of it, you might as well just throw them all in a paper bag and stick your hand in there and pick a name out. To me, I don't feel any better or worse about any one of them than another.
Porcello, I don't. Because I just don't think he strikes enough people out. And I don't even, what are his numbers? He just doesn't feel like he's not a power arm. And is he really a strikeout guy?
So I'm talking just about the relievers.
So,
Kelly, Barnes, Hembry. Like, I don't want Hembry anywhere near the eighth. Okay, so those two, and who am I leaving out? Brazier? Again, throw him in a hat, pick one out. I don't feel any better about one than any of the other. And that's the problem. Because I'm willing to bet the Cora doesn't either. Christian, so he's going to go matchups, go game to game.
Christian in Foxborough, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, so it's confirmed that the Falcons are not going to get to the Super Bowl considering they got a penalty, before the first snap of the game.
I love that. I just want to say it. Because that they've been practicing that play for 4 months and they jumped offsides on the first play of the game. I noticed that too. It's a good point.
Right. So real quick, what I really want to get to, and forgive me if the midday talked about it, but do you guys see Tom Brady's latest Instagram tweet or whatever?
No.
Okay, so LeBron James posted an Instagram, thing of him dunking, saying, strive for greatness, all this stuff. Tom Brady commented, and I quote, he said, damn, bro, you should come play tight end. You and Gronk would be unstoppable.
Okay, so what's wrong with that one?
Oh, no, nothing. I was just wondering. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
LeBron would be an amazing tight end.
Oh, he would. He'd be dynamite. Seriously. I mean, he'd be Gronk part two. The guy's like the greatest athlete you've ever seen.
How smart is he to play basketball?
Very.
I mean, it's the no-brainer.
No, very. I mean, he's making a fortune all over the place in every way imaginable, from headphones to shoes to everything else.
If you have a chance to play anything else and you still play football, you're an idiot. The best example I have that I think of is Jeff Sarcha, who, remember, was a receiver at Notre Dame.
Sure.
Could have made the league, could have been an NFL receiver. I don't know if he would have been great, but he would have made the league. He would have a chance to play in the NFL. Instead, he goes and becomes a major league pitcher and really kind of sucks.
A mediocre one at best.
I mean, he really sucks.
But he's getting paid.
I think he's made $100 million in his career. Just sort of being a sucky, you know, bottom of the rotation. So, I mean, and that's just a number I guessed, but he's been in the league now for probably 10 years.
I'll look it up.
I mean, I bet you his earnings are north of $50
million. Relatively easy money, and his body's going to be intact when he's 50.
His brain is not scrambled. He's not all banged up. He'll be able to walk when he's 50. He has done nothing but suck. And
I take it back. He sucks. 69 and 92 career. 69 and 92, 4.17. Jimmy tells me he's made $83 million.
Baseball.
Oh, hold on. That's to date. Because he's still signed for 19 point a year.
What?
Hold on. For the next 2 years.
He makes more than Brady.
$19.8 million a year. The man with no vowels, Jeff Samardzija, 19.8.
If you have a chance to play,
holy crap,
any other sport and you play football, you sir are an idiot.
He's going to make $120.
I told you.
And then someone will sign him.
Cam and Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
You know, last night, I'm kind of with Murray on this. Last night made me both appreciative and angry at Bill Belichick at the same time, because I've been on Belichick's butt all offseason, and I'll be the first to admit I've gone too far at times. But I look at it in one breath, it's like, you know, you see Nick Foles not gaining a yard from scrimmage in that first quarter, and then Doug Peterson loses a timeout and a challenge for 3 yards. And yeah, it's like, you know, thank God we don't have to see that happen here. But in the other breath, it's like, how did you lose to these guys? How? Nick Foles a bum, and Doug Peterson's a moron. You put your petty grudge ahead of winning another Super Bowl. It was like, how did that happen?
So, last night does make it more painful, doesn't it, Murray?
Without question.
Seeing him complete the dilly-dilly play, the Philly-Philly play that you gagged
Philly,
on.
Philly-Philly!
That you gagged on in the Super Bowl. Foles looks like the backup scrub that he absolutely is.
I mean, he didn't even look ready for some of the snaps. He had a fumble in the game. He was a jittery mess. He's looked that way the whole preseason. He's looked like Nick Foles. He made a deal with Satan before the NFC Championship game, before they played the Minnesota Vikings, where he lit that defense up, which was ridiculous. No one saw that coming, I don't think. And then, of course, we saw how he played in the Super Bowl, and now he's turned back into a pumpkin.
I'm just telling you, there's just so many things. That statue of Nick Foles talking to Doug Peterson outside the stadium, should we go, you know, discussing the Philly.
You want Philly, Philly?
The Philly, that. Well, that's the
Philly special.
That's the Philly special. So now you've got to keep track of all the little names that they give these things. I was going to put an adjective there in front of it. But so now you got to keep track of all their names.
Effing Philly, Philly.
But there's a statue now of Doug Peterson talking to the backup quarterback.
You know what Foles, do you know how many yards Foles passed for last night?
Was it like 160 or less?
117.
Oh, God.
117 yards. I think Brady crapped out 117 yards this morning.
I'm sorry, how many did you give up to him in the Super Bowl?
Oh, it's like,
it was 4-something, wasn't it?
I was going to say in the high threes, but I'll check.
41 points. 41 points. They couldn't get off the field in the second half against that bum. I'm more convinced than ever. You know what? It's not even just about benching Butler. They didn't take the game seriously. You know, as it turns out, Jones was right to get on Bill Belichick the week of the game, hanging out watching an NBA game. Oh, we're in town? Well, let's go to a Timberwolves game, Linda. Why not?
Murray, it's the new Patriots. The hard work doesn't matter. Shortcuts are welcome. Shortcuts are welcome on the New England Patriots.
No. Days off.
Yeah, days off. Yeah, we're going to take days off.
Nick Foles, 28 for 43, 373, 3 touches, a rating of 106.1.
Oh. Coming up next.
He passed for $117 last night.
Coming up next, a member of the Patriots organization will come into our Town Fair Tire Studios and account for this team. It's next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Bass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie. Yes,
it's that time of year, Anthony.
Yeah!
So it is. Bob Sosie, the voice of the New England Patriots. joins us here in our Tom Ford Tire Studios at the BZ Media Group in Dorchester. He's brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Kick off the season at Stop and Shop. They have everything you need to make your tailgate or football gathering a success. Get details at stopandshop.com. You'll hear Bob on the call Sunday at 1 here at 98.5 The Sports Hub with Zoe. So we got the Texans on Sunday, but we're coming off a great offseason, Bob. What did you make of it?
It was a great offseason, Mike. We were just talking off air about some of the things the family and I did. We had a great time. It was a fast offseason, per usual. I mean, it's nice to have a short offseason because that means...
How about all the drama, season? Bob? Let's get right to the drama, please. What do you make of all of that?
Have you guys been talking about all the drama?
No,
lately?
We don't really mention it.
Just a little bit.
That's just why I want to ask you.
Well, I was going to say, Tony, I like the fact that at least that music got you out of your seat a little bit and brought some good vibes to this new studio here because...
How about the drama, Bob?
Because there's been so much negativity for months.
We want to talk about the drama, Bob.
Who's created the negativity? And this is sort of my point. The pump-up video, they have like all the media members there in that nine box with all the noise that we're creating. How about all the crap that Brady's put out there? I mean, hasn't he created a lot of it?
Well, as I've said on any number of out-of-market interviews, there's always drama, there's always intrigue with this team. But you have to admit, it was different this past offseason. It was different really going back to late last season after the Wickersham piece in ESPN. And beyond that, all the cryptic messaging, whether it was from Tom or Gronk, the questions about Gronk's plans for the future, whether he was mulling over retirement. He admitted it right after the Super Bowl that he was going to weigh all the factors. And we had that press conference, that bizarre press conference for the motocross while his teammates were in the midst of OTAs. You know, the fact that Tom and Gronk didn't go to the voluntary portion of the OTAs, I mean, that's all newsworthy. And that is all the part of the drama that I think is real and should be discussed.
Do you think it's all gone? And when I say that, Bob, let me tell you what my concern is. That if they get off to some sort of bad start, or hit a rough patch, that stuff will bubble to the surface again. And maybe not in its current form, but that any resentment that lingers or that exists will be there and they may not handle adversity as well.
Well, I'm not worried about how they're going to do it in-house. It certainly is going to be there on the outside. I mean, it's been there even in 2014, even last year, the 2-2 start and all the questions about them on the field. I think back to 14 after that loss to Kansas City, a lot of the questions about Brady. And you guys talked at length about the shots of him on the field talking to Trent Dilfer and Steve Young, and that's going to happen again, no doubt about it. It's going to be there every time there's a hiccup, every time there's a speed bump for this team. But I think when it comes to Brady's focus, Belichick's focus, Gronk's focus, now that football has started, that's where it will be. Tom was asked about it today in his press conference, and I thought despite the vacillation during the course of the off season, the start of Tom versus Time to the end to the most recent episode, I thought it was a good answer on Holt today, and I think this is
what was the answer
just in terms of like look, he's going to focus on football moving forward, and I think that's exactly the approach.
That's why he was wearing the pliability T-shirt.
You still got to take care of the brand too. But
I mean, again, what's the messaging there? I mean, it's not even the brand. It's not even the TB12 logo. It's just sort of like, the thing that drove a wedge between him and Belichick, just sort of right there in his face. The training methods of his guy and the Guerrero thing. Like, it's a subtle thing. And again, I'm not telling you like Rome is burning, but it's just, I don't know. It wasn't a Patriot logo. That's all I know. It was a Guerrero logo.
Yeah, but generally, I mean, Tom has been at the podium over the course of the last 2, 3, 4 years, as far as I can remember, wearing the TB12 hats. I mean, often you see Bill up there, in post-game press conferences, not necessarily wearing a Patriot shirt. He might have a sweatshirt on from the Air Force Academy in Mexico, whatever. Yeah, I don't take too much from that. I don't think Tom Brady's trying to send a message in that way, other than what he's been doing over the course of the last few years. But I do think that, they have enough to concern themselves with in the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars out of the gate, plus trying to get through these four games without Julian Edelman, trying to, navigate a tough schedule with a new offensive tackle on the left side, with a right tackle who missed almost all of last year and missed all of the training camp preseason that we were accessible to, with exception of a few days in terms of Marcus Cannon, a wide receiver group that came out of camp.
Let me ask about some of these real quick. Again, Bob Soucy has the call on Sunday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Where do you like the roster? Where do you not like the roster?
I think the roster is better up front defensively. I think there's more depth, and it's evidenced by the fact that people like Eric Lee, who was playing a lot of valuable snaps down the stretch, including in the Super Bowl, he was on the field for the Philly special. He didn't make the team. I like the fact that, you know, Danny Shelton adds a little more to the interior of that defense. Last year, Alan Branch was a no-show, and they were terrible against the run, and they have to be stouter against the run. Even in a passing league, they got to be better against the run. I like the fact that they're Adrian Claiborne and Trey Flowers. You know, give them at least good bookends in pass-rushing situations. Rivers has shown some things. He's still got a ways to go, but I think he's shown enough. I think overall Dietrich Wise has continued to build on what was a pretty good rookie season, to say the least, for him. In the second level, you know, Bentley, you know, he could be a fine. I still think, you know, it's a two linebacker team for the most part. But I just think overall, I think they're going to be better defensively just because of the depth that they have up front. Last year, they were always searching. I mean, from the time they made trades for Cassius Marsh in the preseason with a week to go in the before the start of the season until the last couple of weeks of the regular season when they went out and signed a guy like James Harrison, they were completely unsettled and they were never able to find reliable bookends. I think at least now that they've got enough bodies there that they're going to be better up front. Offensively, yeah, I like the running backs if they're healthy and what they could do, the diversity, which we're accustomed to with White, Burkhead, potentially Sony Michel, but there are concerns. Is Trent Brown going to be able to hold up, especially at the tempo with which they play? He'll tell you that he played in Chip Kelly's offense, but we're going to find out. He's going up against Clowney and Watt and Merciless, and then you've got Ngakoue and, you know, those guys from Jacksonville who can get after the quarterback. See, these are two tough games to start
with. So as you mentioned, the guys that can get after the quarterback, do you have any particular concerns more than usual about their ability to protect Brady in these first couple of games?
Especially
without somebody, you know, like Edelman, that he might get the ball rid of too quickly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think this year, after the trade of Cooks, maybe it was a signal that they're going to go back to the old horizontal orientation of their offense as opposed to being more vertical last year, where Brady held onto the ball longer and there were more throws downfield. The problem now is, though, you got to have a guy who gets open quickly, like an Edelman, without an Amendola. Who can fill in for him. And so who's that guy this year? We saw good things from Philip Dorsett in training camp. Then it looked like he took a step back. He had a scare with a potentially serious knee injury that he really dodged the bullet there. And then got back on track with a very good game against Carolina. But you're still talking about Hogan and Dorsett. You know, Patterson, I think they'll find ways to get the ball in his hands and let him make plays with the ball in his hands. But is he going to be able to run the route tree? And he's certainly not a guy that, you know, you're going to look to as a quick strike receiver underneath. So it's Gronk. It's Burkhead and White. If Burkhead is healthy, and, you know, it's those other guys. And are they going to have that guy? Is going to be the drive starter, the stick mover, to get the ball out of Brady's hand quickly enough to keep some of those hits off of him?
All right, what does this game come down to?
I think it comes down to that. I mean, protecting Brady and getting enough protection and giving him a chance to get some guys open so he can take advantage of the weaknesses of the Texans defensively, which I think is in the middle of their secondary, the safeties. One of the cornerback spots is very much in question. Kevin Johnson has been hurt. But can you exploit that if you don't have the time to do so? And I think it's the unknown in this game. You know, what's Deshaun Watson going to be like coming off the torn ACL? He didn't play a lot in the preseason. Is he going to be able to create as many plays out of the pocket as he did? And can they keep him in the pocket and at the same time take advantage of a terrible offensive line, seemingly, for the Texans? And beyond that, you know, prevent those wild plays when he's out of the pocket and he's throwing downfield to Will Fuller and to DeAndre Hopkins, because those guys are tough to cover. And especially when a play starts to break down, and this guy last year killed him with some of those plays where he's throwing the ball back across his body, falling off balance and throwing it across the field.
All right, Bobby, good to see you again.
You too, guys.
All right, thank you. Look forward to the call Sunday at 1. Soucy and Zolak here on 98.5 The Sports Up.
Felger and Maz.
Ow.
98.5 The Sports Up.
Right back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Again, there's one open line for you, 617-779-0985. Derek's in Foxborough on last night's football game. Hi, Derek.
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, Matty Ice might be the easiest quarterback to defend against. He looks to throw it to Julio Jones every single time. He doesn't go to his second and third options. And on Nick Foles, I think the whole league knew he was a fraud because you go back to the offseason, and all the teams that needed quarterbacks could have traded for him, and nobody wanted him. So I think everyone knew he was a bum.
Nick Foles sucks. And it just it makes what happened last year in the Super Bowl all that more painful that you lost to that guy. And he lit you up. He didn't just lose to him. He lit you up. It's not like you lost to a team on defense or fluky special team stuff. No, no. The other backup bum quarterback tore you apart. Painful. Matt Ryan, there's just something off about his game. I can't quite articulate it or put my finger on it. Maybe it is something about seeing the field or his progressions. I just feel like in big spots, third down, red zone, he just doesn't go to the right place with the ball. I mean, in the Super Bowl against you, as dumb of a play call as it was, you can't take a sack. When you're in field goal range to ice the game, you can't take a sack. And he takes a sack.
Correct.
And there's just, you know, the more you watch him, it's just, there's something not right about him. Overrated guy.
Maybe it's the yips or something. There was even one play, too, when they were in the red zone. I think it was, you know, they initially looked like they were going to start in an I formation, and they split out, and it was Devontae Freeman that got a little free, and the ball was just ahead of his hands. Like, and it just, he felt rushed. It always feels rushed with that guy, especially when he was in the red zone.
I mean, I'm not defending Ryan. I'm just telling you, they have the same guys they had 2 years ago, and they took the offensive coordinator out. If you ever wanted to...
Oh, Kyle Shanahan was a big factor there, no doubt.
I mean, you talk about the impact of a coordinator on an offense and being able to coordinate matchups and mismatches and everything. They were unstoppable 2 years ago. They were. Now, they're mediocre.
Alan in Florida with a thought on Red Sox Astros this weekend. What do you think, Alan?
Well, first of all, I do, which is shocking. I agree with Maz completely that Rodriguez should pitch the third game, but absolutely not going to happen. It'll be Porcello and then Rodriguez, but I do agree with you there. And I just want to point out, this series is a lot more important to the Astros than it is to the Red Sox.
Yep.
I mean, and... You know, the Astros are a good team, but I'm only giving them a 50-50 chance of playing the Red Sox, because if the Red Sox play the Yankees or Oakland, and, you know, I give Cleveland a 50% chance of beating the Astros. So
I agree.
One team. And, you know, there's no Sale this weekend. There's not even any Rodriguez this weekend. There's not even any, as much as he's not my guy, but Porcello this weekend. So... we'll see what happens. I mean, if the Red Sox win 2 out of 3, I'll be amazed, and I'll just say it's just like you guys say. I mean, in the eighth inning, it almost doesn't matter, at least during the season with regular, who's going in relief after the other day, beating the Braves that way. And one other thing, I don't think Wright, I'm not talking about the eighth inning, but I think Steven Wright's going to play a role. If you got a guy like Sale pitching 100 miles an hour, and then you bring in Wright throwing that knuckle, it could be a little devastating for at least one inning, as long as he's not wild.
Okay, well, but, you know...
Don't hold your breath on that one.
One-run game, seventh inning, here comes Steven Wright to back up Chris Sale.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that
one. No shot.
Again, they might mess around with it during the regular season, but not in the playoffs, please. And it is more important to Houston, which is why you can hurt them this weekend. Hurt them. And if you can hurt them, now you put them in a spot where all of a sudden maybe they have to tax themselves a little bit more in the month of September than they otherwise would have. Use your lead to your advantage. Like, and make Houston sweat it out. Any energy and any fight that they have to engage in here over the next 3 weeks is not going to benefit them in October. It's not. Like, and there was something else he said that pissed me off, and I don't remember what it was. But go ahead, it'll come to me.
That Cleveland might scare you.
Oh, yeah. That's not a 50-50 series. It's not a 50-50 series.
I might agree with them.
Houston will be favored against everyone they go against.
Oh, I don't know who's favored in that series. But from a Red Sox perspective, Cleveland might scare me more. I don't know. The thought of Tito and his evil henchman, Millsy, and that bullpen, that scared me in those first couple of games of that series. Just, they know where bodies are buried. They've got sort of like, I don't know. I just think they got things up their sleeves. I feel like they would know how to pitch to you, and they'd have the arms to do it. That group, that Cleveland scares me more than Houston. I don't know if they're better, but I'm just sort of scared. Millsy scares me.
I mean, look, it's the right-hand man.
No, the evil henchman, Millsy.
Yeah, the right-hand man is like the personal assassin that Francona sends out there. I'm not telling you it would be an easy series. I think Houston will beat Cleveland, though.
We've got Jamie in Medford on the Bruins here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Jamie.
I just want to know what you think of the Bruins now having a lack as a backup goalie where Hudobin's gone. You think they're going to get anywhere further with having Tuukka, who person is the so-so goalie and then getting another goalie who's a so-so goalie?
I think, Jamie, I think they are in the same spot as they were last year, but even a little bit more, meaning, excuse me, they like their backup, and if Tuca is sucking, Cassie's going to sit him down and play the other guy. Where I think what's different, it's better this year, and it's costing them, right? They have the highest goalie outlay in the league. Did you look that up the other day?
Yeah, I think they're in the top two or three anyway in terms of cap dollars committed to goalies.
In terms of cap dollars committed to goalies, they're in the top three in the league, which is a bad place to be, I think. But either way, I think that they would look at Hudobin and say, he's really only good for these 5-6 games, and he's not someone you can ride for months or in the postseason. I don't view Hudobin that way. I don't know if they do or not, but something tells me they didn't. Halak, he's done it before. And it was a long time ago. So look, he's older for sure. But Halak does have a track record of starting full seasons and, you know, carrying teams in the postseason. And is he like 33? I'm not exactly sure how old he is. But if he still has a little bit of that left in him, look, I'm going to just put to that. I think Hudobin's an upgrade over. I think Halak's an upgrade over Hudobin. If they got a good offer for Tuukka Rask, could they go with Halak? I don't know. They could more with him than they could Hudobin. That I know. And if they wanted to just, you know, not have to watch Tuukka puke on himself again in the playoffs, Halak's a guy that they'd be more likely to go with than Hudobin.
I mean, at the very least, they got to go get a guy who can play 25, 30 games because Rask can't handle the workload.
It's aggravating.
I mean, that's a minimum. They have to do it.
Third highest paid goalie in the league, and you have to go find a good backup because your starter can't make it. All right, we continue with your thoughts here on an agenda-free Friday. Coming up next, the play that scared me the most from last night's game. We'll give it to you with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ryan goes left, throws low, and at the 6-yard line, that is hauled in by Austin Hooper, the tight end, for a gain of 4.
Let's see if he caught the ball or not. Not a chance. I'm trying to tell you whether it's a catch or not.
Terry McCauley is going to be our guy, our rules analyst, many years, a great referee. So, Terry, how'd you see that last one?
Yeah, thanks very much, Al. This is kind of what we thought we'd see this year. He has firm control, and then the ball hits the ground, and then there is ball movement. And one of the changes to the rule was ball movement doesn't automatically mean loss of control. So I think they did the right thing for letting it stand. It's not clear and obvious that the ruling on the field was wrong.
That's the play that scared me. Innocuous play. Did you see it in the first half? It's first quarter. That was the new catch rule. A lot of people have talked about the Julio Jones play in the second half. I don't think that has anything to do with the new catch rule.
It doesn't.
I just think they determined he was out of bounds before he got control. Like, that was just a toss-up play or a disputed play. You may think they got it wrong, but I don't think that was the new catch rule at work.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right on that. It was more about him having control out of bounds.
Right. I mean, I just think it was a judgment call, and they either got it right or wrong, but it wasn't the new catch rule. This Hooper play, that was the new catch rule.
Agreed.
That is a play that for the last, I don't know, call it 15, 20 years, has been incomplete. That ball, he bobbles it on the ground. He rolls over. It comes out. It rolls on the ground. That is, last year and for, again, I don't know, 15, 20 years before that, is so automatically incomplete, it's not even funny.
Well, sure, when you look at it slowed down, yeah, you got a case. But in real time, that's a catch. This was literally the only enjoyable part of the night for me. And I said to my television, suck it, Felger. Because with the old rules, sure, not a catch. Let's look at it and slow it down and go through the minutiae.
They still did that.
A little bit of movement.
They still
only
did
because
it.
That doofus coach, who, again, the Patriots couldn't beat in the Super Bowl, decided to challenge it with 4 yards. Idiot. Either way, but yeah, when you slow it down, oh, how about that? Under the old rules, no catch. New rules, catch. Catch. Oh, I loved it. The only enjoyable part of the night. Bring me the new catch rule. I love it. F your replay. In real time, that's a catch. Real time, your eyes. Oh, looks like a catch. 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 That was a catch.
See, I heard someone else explain this to me because I didn't see it initially. I was in the car at this point, and then I had to go watch the replay today. And when I saw it, instinctively, I said no. And someone compared it to me to the Jesse James play with the Patriots and the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's not the same as that,
though.
Jesse James caught the ball and then reached to put it into the end zone. To me, there was like a football move there.
He never caught this ball.
I felt like the ground helped him secure it.
He never had control of it.
So that's why I say if the ground helps him secure it, then it's not a catch.
That, to me, was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. That's now a catch, Murray?
I'm good with it.
Just because you want to say suck at Felger.
No, I've said it before, it's more about that hopefully this will add to the more entertainment in the game. We'll see catches that would have been borderline or called incomplete in the past, but now, catch!
Well, see, what I think is it's so gray now. It's so gray. They're not going to call that consistently a catch. I guarantee you they're not. That ball was too loose. It was on the ground. It came out of, how many times have we seen that over the years? Oh, ball came out incomplete, and it was... And there was no gray area. That catch last night in the past had zero gray area. If that thing spilled out when he rolled over onto the ground, incomplete. And we knew it would be called like that way every single time. Now, I guarantee you they're not going to get that right every time. It's going to be all over the place. Now, you're really not going to know what a catch is.
I mean, it is more arbitrary, that's for sure. What blows me away is, haven't they changed this rule like 3 years in a row? And it never gets any better.
Well, no, they've...
is the most drastic change.
This is easily the most drastic change.
But again, there's never... Listen to Collinsworth. I guarantee you, we could pull commentary of Collinsworth from the last 3 years, or at least the last two, where he says, don't ask me because I don't know. Yeah. And I think he represents what everybody's saying on their sofa in America. You're looking at it going, I have no clue what they're going to call
it. Oh, I did. Because by the letter of the new rule... That was a catch. And as soon as I posted that on Twitter, do you think people were good? How do you think people reacted? You don't know what you're talking about. Not a catch. Like kicking a hornet's nest. And who was right? Me. Because that's the new rule. That's a catch. Catch. Deal with it. Oh, I loved it. Give me these non-catch catches. Because if it looks like a catch, again, in real time, catch. More entertainment value. More offense for the game. Less flags. More entertainment. That's what I'm hoping for. Granted, we got more flags in the UN last night, so they still haven't fixed that. But that's what I want. More catches.
So you think that Julio Jones should have been a catch, too?
I do. So that one pissed me off.
Julio Jones should have been a catch.
So, and that's the other thing, too. Reward the exciting play. The guy made it ridiculous.
What if he's out of bounds?
It was by a hair. Just reward it to
well,
him.
Well, no, it's either out of bounds or inbounds, Murray. Come on.
I'll tell you what. I don't think he was out of bounds. I thought he had control of the ball before he touched out of bounds.
So, again, though, that's not the new catch rule in action. That's just a judgment call.
Correct. It was a big play, though.
The Hooper thing, I'm telling you. The Hooper thing, you are before it was just a cliche that you didn't know what a catch is. And you said it because you didn't like the rule. But we all knew. If the ball came out like that on that Hooper play, incomplete. 20 straight years. It's just whatever terminology they put on it, going to the ground, football move, or they put a different, sort of verbiage every year. That I'll grant you. They change the wording every year. But it was pretty strict for a long time that you had to control the ball, go to the ground, maintain control. Now it truly is anyone's guess. And so that was the little play last night that scared me.
I mean, I thought the only way I can put it is I thought the ground helped him ultimately secure the ball. And if that happens, it's not a catch.
Okay, folks, we have 2 minutes left in this segment. I have Dan and Quincy and Mike and Woburn, arch enemies, back to back. Can we each do it in a minute? Because if we can't, then I can't take you. Mike and Woburn, go first on Todd Frazier, our conversation from yesterday. Go.
Did they suspend Todd Frazier?
No, they didn't. They said they're not even going to look at it.
Right, exactly, which means what thing? The umps got it wrong. Because apparently Todd Frazier could have come out of the stands with Mr. Met's head in his glove, and that dumbass would have called him out. So Mark Nerf Wegner should be suspended. And the Mets should have, in honor of Todd, fan appreciation night and give foam balls to everybody in the first 5 rows of the stadium.
The foam ball thing, it might have been the Mr. Met logo. Now that I think of it, wasn't that a natural for the Mets?
Well, except that they were in L.A.
Oh, it was in L.A. So
yeah, but same idea. I mean, that's what the ball was. It was effectively a souvenir.
I think Major League Baseball made a big mistake not looking at it. Big mistake. The umpire was right there. The umpire was right there. It all comes down to just in baseball, there's more latitude for this sort of stuff. There just is. If that was in the NFL, I mean, imagine a Patriot doing something like that. Oh, my God.
How about in the NBA? Guy gets a second ball out of the stands and throws it in for three.
Just think of it. There would be suspensions and there'd be, like, huge scandal. In baseball, they kind of allow a certain level of cheating. They just do. And it's sort of accepted and celebrated, and it's just the way it is in that sport.
See, but I don't think that this is quote-unquote allowed. Like, I don't think in anybody's rule book or unwritten rule book that this would be allowed. I think that he just snookered them. He pulled one over on him, and they fell for it.
I just can't. But after the fact, I can't believe baseball hasn't done something about it. Mistake by them. Daniel and Quincy, what do you got for us? Quickly.
Yeah. Falco, the number one reason why a backup quarterback beat the Patriots last year was what?
Was
the defense.
Yeah, your defense.
No. The number one, what part of the defense?
The secondary.
Okay.
Pass rush?
Well, and all of it. Yes, the pass defense.
Wasn't the pass rush, Falco, right?
It was the pass defense.
Yeah, no, lack of pass rush on the quarter. Not one sack, not one disruption, not one in the game. Tony, you said they couldn't stop the Giants either, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Take 17 and 19, total 36 versus 41 in one game?
Well, sure, Danny, but Danny, at the end of the day, they couldn't get off the field.
No, the offense couldn't score. That's what the problem was. Brady, this is the problem I have with you guys and the media. Nobody ever blames Brady for putting up enough points in those respective games. Nobody. And he's got an ironclad excuse this year. Because if he sucks this year, it's going to be because he has no receivers. All right? Now, it won't be because he didn't show up for OTAs. It'll be because he has no receivers.
Well, not here. Whoa. Don't yell at me. I'm holding the... I'm holding him accountable for that missed time over the year like no one else, Danny. I'm not letting him off the hook on that.
Why don't you institute that opinion on your fellow colleagues, including the guy you got coming in at 4 o'clock, Chris Gasper, who does nothing but that guy play.
That one's not going to make it.
That one's out of bounds.
And speaking for Gasper, and I will say for myself as well, yes, it's a ready-made excuse, and I will be more than happy to expound on it time and time again. Brady has a bad week.
Well, he's got no weapons. What are we going to do?
Bad year? If he's got a down year, doesn't hit those incentives, whose fault is it? Bills for not getting wide receivers for Brady.
Brady doesn't,
built in.
Brady doesn't look right. Brady doesn't play well. That's what happens when you don't put in the work. Very simple, Danny. You don't need to yell at me. You can ball wash. You can ass kiss. You can't do what you just said.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow that.
And I would tell you that I think Brady still has enough to do his job well enough, with or without Edelman at the moment. And it's dicey. He's still got Gronk. He's still got White. He's still got Burkhead. He's still got Hogan. He's got enough.
Barely.
But you know what? They shouldn't suck. They should. If he's Tom Brady, they should be able to score with these guys.
Quickly, is Danny trying to blame Brady for last year, too? For the Eagles game?
Feels like it.
Sounds it, yeah.
That's a little much.
Feels like, well, I mean, that was a big fumble.
Well, it is ball security.
It was pretty significant thing.
It's true.
I mean, he'd have been able to squeeze it a little bit better if there weren't so much air in it.
It's good that he worked on it in the offseason. Oh, no, that's right. He was on the jet ski. All right. We have an update with Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials. More of your wonderful phone calls on Agenda Free Friday. Gasper, I think, is going to join us. We'll see.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.